The founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries are pleased to bring you the following message. To find out more about other materials available from Rejoice Marriage Ministries, or if we can minister to you in any other way, please contact us. You can write Rejoice Marriage Ministries, P.O. Box 10548, Pompano Beach, Florida 33061. Please visit our website at www.rejoiceministries.org. Our hope is that through Charlene's message, you will receive the encouragement from the Lord, and with His strength and power, your marriage can be all that your Heavenly Father planned it to be.
Welcome to Rejoice Pompano Beach Bible Study, and we're thrilled to have everybody here tonight. And we're going to start right on as close to 7 o'clock as we can, because we have a very big night with us tonight. And I want to have as much time as I can to teach, in addition to our DVD of a wedding of Carrie and Ryan. So we're just going to start. So welcome to Rejoice Pompano Beach Bible Study. We're glad you're here. We're glad that it's raining and the Lord is watering the grass. But I pray it still brings in all the standers who won't be afraid of getting wet, because it's not snow and it's not sleet and it's not hail. So we're just going to pray for the Lord to just have the rain stop and start after we leave here tonight. And we're thrilled to have everybody on our internet audience who will be listening to our Bible study on the internet for the next month. And they're going to be able to hear the wedding audio, and they can hear us from the beginning until we close for prayer. So that's something that we've just started recently, and it's working really well. So let's open up with Psalm 146, because we want to praise the Lord first. We want to worship Him. We want to praise Him and thank Him for all that He's doing. And if you even are in going through trials and tribulations, even if you've been divorced recently, God is in control. I want you to understand that. As I told one man tonight, one stander that I know, and I said, I'm divorced because of you. Bob and I got divorced because of you, because God wanted me to say, I've been divorced, it doesn't matter. He wanted me to be able to say, in fact, I filed for divorce. In fact, He said to me, I want you to stand, so in case my husband was planning a wedding, he says, I'm going to tell you right now, Charlene, it doesn't matter how many women he marries, because the second marriage doesn't last any better than the first or second or third. So I want you to say you're going to be standing until you're 80. Until I'm 80, and that's what the Lord told me to say. So the Lord may tell you something different. You might be a little bit more creative than me sitting in a rocking chair, which is what I told my husband. But I'm telling you, God wants us to listen to His voice, His will, His way, and quit listening to all the surveys and everybody else. Psalm 146 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. Are you? Have you chosen to praise the Lord in the midst of your circumstances? I will praise the Lord as long as I live. That is what I have had to learn, as today is Bob and our 46th wedding anniversary. And I am here with you, but I am telling you, I do not feel like it's 46 years. It feels like just yesterday we got married. And I almost brought all the wedding pictures, like we had them at the, I think it was 40th anniversary, Lori, was it the 40th that we did it? I thought it was 40th, and we have all of them on the website so you can see them. But we brought the wedding pictures and everything else, and I thought, 46 years, I can't believe it. But anyway, I still wear my wedding ring, so the people that can't see it, I still have them on, and I'm just going to wait to go see the Lord and then my husband. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and on earth and the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. And he's going to be faithful for you people. Never forget that. I brought a star by faithful. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. Now, I know there's only a few, half a crowd here right now, but your husband or wife is a prodigal, or they're a prisoner of war, or they're not saved and they don't know the Lord, and they've been taken captive. They're living in the world, and they're as of the world right now, and they are blinded. They're deceived. They cannot hear common sense. So you are becoming a prayer warrior for them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or to repent and to come back to the Lord. There's many people in many churches that talk about being backslidden or away from God. And that is, if your husband or wife was saved at the time you got married, then they become backslidden. Or maybe they never knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they had thought and talked about it, but never really had the Holy Spirit touch them and really surrender their Lord to their life, to their Savior, and then surrender to the Lord forever. You know, we don't know. God's going to reveal all those questions. You can write in a journal, and God's going to reveal it to you. So he upholds the cause of the oppressed. Right now, you may be depressed, oppressed. He's going to hold you up and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free, and the Lord gives sight to the blind. That's where this is a scripture you can pray your spouse's name in it right now. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. That may be you and your husband or wife. The Lord loves the righteous. That includes you. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146 has many nuggets of gold, of verses that you can claim, you can stand on, and you can pray. So that's why I read that to you tonight, because tonight we are going to be talking about God's restoring power, and we're going to see it in with a wedding, and we're going to hear about it in the Word of God tonight. So we're going to stand up, and we're going to worship the King of Kings.
Of God in helpless pain, this gift of love. and worship God in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's past and lost its grip on me. For I am his, and if he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Going to come up and talk to you all, but I want to tell you I am so blessed since Bob has died that I have our daughter here, and she has been working for us. She's been working here with us for over 11 years, and then Tim is over in the sound, and his daughter Allison, and Kayla is also here with us, who is Lori's, one of the twins of 13-year-old. So we have been blessed ever since Bob died. The family came in, and they have just, the ministry has just only grown since Bob has died. So we just give God the praise, because I know Bob is in heaven praying, and whatever, whoever he's going to talk to, I know he's praying for marriage restoration.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you about a few things. First of all, I know that we have a couple out-of-towners, and so I'm going to give away a CD that some of you may have, but it's really probably the CD I recommend the most when I'm emailing people. Stop looking at your circumstances. Do you ever find that you're looking at what's happening and think, this is impossible, nothing is ever going to change? Well, this is a great CD. So I know the answer to this, but we're going to see. Who traveled the furthest tonight? Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry, where are you from? Sydney, Australia. I think you're going to win. Isn't that great? Okay, so I have a seat, and you brought a friend, too. She's not down here yet? Okay. Okay, so we have two from Sydney, Australia. So can anybody beat Sydney, Australia from the distance? Okay, we're glad you're here, though. And does anybody have an anniversary in October besides Charlie? Look at the anniversaries, four anniversaries. Okay, let's start in the back. When's your anniversary? Yes. October 6th. Okay, Katie? 29th. Oh, the first.
Yay, you're here.
Yep. It's a good night for you. And when's your anniversary? 31st. That's my son's birthday. Okay, well, we're glad you're here. So I have a CD for four of you then. I'll give you each one of these. And for traveling from Australia, you can have one also. And the third Monday night of the month, we're doing our marriage series where we're watching a video. We're on Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. So for those of you that were here, we heard a lot of positive feedback on it. You enjoyed it. So 2 weeks from tonight, Sacred Marriage. We still have workbooks available, so you can get a workbook tonight or I can give it to you in 2 weeks. And we have a few copies of his book, Sacred Marriage. So they're $10 in the back. And how many of you tweet? A few. How many of you know what tweeting is? Okay, see most of you. And Facebook, are any of you on Facebook? Okay, are you on the Rejoice Ministries Facebook page? Okay, if you haven't, go on there because we have a Facebook page and a Twitter. So that's one way to get information from us. And do any of you know about Stop Divorce Radio? Okay. Stop Divorce Radio is an internet radio 24/7. It's full of music. Even in Australia, you can get it. See? Okay. It's full of music, teachings from my mom, and teachings from other pastors that teach great messages on marriage. So Stop Divorce Radio. And there's this other little tidbit of information we have. It's called Charlene Cares. Have you ever heard of it? Okay. Do you read it? Okay, some people do hang on every, you know, at 2 a.m. It goes out at 2 a.m. automatically, not by us. We're sleeping. But, well, some of us are sleeping. Some may still be up. But Charlene Cares is a daily devotional. It's free, so sign up for it. If you're not signed up, you can get it daily or you can get it weekly. If you have too many emails, you just want to read the one weekly one. And, oh, there's our Facebook page. Yes, I warned him. We work together. And tomorrow we announced to the Facebook community that we watched in our staff devotions the video that we're going to watch tonight of the wedding. And so people have been wanting to see it. And we said, not yet. We're going to let the local people look at it first. So tomorrow morning we're going to upload the video of the wedding that we're going to watch tonight because you are going to enjoy it. So we're glad you're here. Yeah, you get it first. Those of you that schlep out in the rain get it first. So we're glad you're here. We have the bookstore open in the back for those of you that are new. And during Bible study, everything is $5. So if you need any products, there's some back there, and they're $5. So enjoy your night.
Stand up, and we're going to believe and sing Nothing is Impossible. That's for all of you tonight.
I can do anything. I can do all things. Because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. I'm not
are we learning that? We're going to learn that really good, because I want you all excited that nothing, nothing is going to bother you, because you're going to believe. You're going to believe. Now, all that music with all the people that are listening to this across the internet did not get, I didn't think of it this time, but next time I'll read the scriptures, because all those scriptures are supposed to take it from your head knowledge to your heart knowledge of knowing why we say we believe that God can do anything, because nothing, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, we want you, Lord, to touch us. Open our spiritual eyes and ears and heart to believe what your word says, that we will not say, but I'm divorced, but my spouse is married, but my spouse has a child, but I don't believe, but I've fallen in sin, but I've given up. I've given up. It doesn't matter. We've got Lou's and Fabian's testimony. There were 3 give-ups on that marriage, and they're restored. So, you know, it doesn't matter, because they're just one example of all the people who have given up that have come back. Lord, we praise you that you do bring us back. You do not leave us in the far country. You go after the prodigals. You go after the ones who have just become so weary and so tired. But we're praying that you will not let us go into a non-covenant marriage. We're praying that you will help us not fall into dating. We pray that you will help stop us to even saying, I'm going on and getting on with my life. Lord, what does that mean when we made a vow? What does that mean when we say, for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part? When we made that vow, did we make it with you, God? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to know the truth, your truth, and the truth will set us free. Tonight, may you open our spiritual eyes and ears and heart. Soften our heart, people. Oh, Lord God, soften our hearts. Because we're angry, we're bitter, we've lost our faith, we've lost our trust. We say, how long? How long? Don't ask how long when you read the Bible. Lord, help us to not doubt the power of our awesome, mighty God. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do tonight. What you're going to do with this evening is it's a blessed evening. We are already blessed. Bob would be so excited to see having a wedding DVD. And this is, our first wedding DVD. And I'm just, praise the Lord, it's on our anniversary. We give you all the praise and the glory. And anoint me and touch me to say the words you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Believing. Ugh, that's a hard word, is it not? When you're standing, can we really believe? Can we really trust God? Do we really want to trust God? Do we want to say, I take all the circumstances and I'm going to put them aside, just like Lori said, we're going to stop looking at the circumstances, and we're going to really trust the Lord. We're going to believe his word. You know, what we need to do is start reading the word. Study the word. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, you could throw in Hosea. You could throw in Isaiah. Isaiah 58 has fasting. Are we fasting? How much are we willing to fight for our marriage? I wasn't willing. I got divorced. I wasn't willing at all, because I listened to everybody else. And you're going to hear about that tonight. Are you willing to be different? You know, we Christians need to be different. Are we different than the people at work, or are we blending in? We need to be different. And I'm asking every stander, you must be different. You're going to be different at church. Now, it's 25 years ago, 1985. That's maybe longer than 25 years ago. I haven't kept count. It's longer than 25 years. But that's when Bob and I when Bob moved out in July of 1985. And I had it. From the very first year of our marriage, we started having problems because we had to get rid of two people's personalities and we had to learn how to live with each other. And I am telling you, you can read our story, you can hear our testimony, but you need to remember we married for life and God can turn it around to good. So I want you to get hope and encouragement tonight. Because there is an enemy in John 10:10, and we have people from Australia, and we've got new people here, and I want them to know the basics. So I'm just going to do rewind for just a few minutes before we go into the DVD teaching. But John 10:10, I'm going to start in verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Well, that's a good one for our husbands and wives to pray for our spouses, is it not? He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that thief is the enemy, Satan. And we can do, you know, maybe one of the Bible studies and the CDs we need to make is about the enemy. I could talk for an hour about the enemy, couldn't we? We could talk about all what he does, but God has won. He has won. He paid the price, and he said, as he said it so beautifully, it is finished. He paid the price. He shed his blood on the cross for us to have eternal life and to defeat Satan. Satan still wants to think that down here we're losers. Well, we're not. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. And God has given us weapons. And I want you to know that we're going on a spiritual journey. You need to know that the spiritual journey is for life. It is not for just your marriage. It is forever. Because God has called you to do something different. You are going to be chosen. God has chosen you to be an intercessor for people around you, people at church, your family members, and maybe God's going to have you have a burden for marriages. I don't know. But I know that he's chosen you to be special. And he's going to teach you so much about standing, about praying, that he is going to have you use that each and every day of your life. It's not just for tonight. And he wants you to be able to keep going to him and asking, seeking, and knocking. And I want you to, most of all, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imperative that you have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people that find our website that have not known the Lord Jesus Christ or have turned their heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is awesome because that's the first step. But then we need to go and we have to say, okay, Lord, I want to know your will and way. So in Matthew chapter 7, it says, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. In Jeremiah 33:3, and this is one of my favorites, it says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You have a million questions. Good. Write them down. Put them in a journal. Put them in a notebook. Do it whatever way is best for you. But write them down because God wants to show you and answer you personally. He is going to have all of a sudden, it's going to be in a sermon. You're going to read it in a devotional. You're going to hear a song. And all of a sudden, you may see a billboard. God, what should I do about my marriage? And you're going to drive by one of our billboards. God heals hurting marriages. Forgive him. That's another one of our billboards. And that's right there. You got to forgive him. And you don't want to forgive him. You want to hold retaliation. You want to be angry. And you know what? We have to forgive and forget. Because God says, love your enemies. Well, right now, my husband or wife is acting like my enemy. Yes, they divorced you. And yes, it became final. But it's not over. Because God has won the war. And he is wanting to help you stand firm and don't look at the circumstances. I looked at the circumstances. I did wrong. But God takes you through Joseph. Just look at Joseph tonight and look at all of his circumstances. He never gave up. He kept going and growing in the Lord. And that's our responsibility. Grow in the Lord. And you are going to get so busy, I can vouch for it, that you're not going to have time to read the Bible. You have to make time to read the Bible. Skip a meal. Read the Bible. That's what you may, whatever you have to do, you got to read the Bible. Because that's God's word. And that's his love letter to you, writing to you every single day. And then you got to pray. And you can pray in the bathroom. You can pray on the road. You can pray when you're doing dishes. You can pray when you work. You know, there's many different ways. You may say, Lord, help me while you're at work. Help me find this. Help me find that. But you have got to be willing to call to him and say, Lord, what are your instructions? Remember, that was last month's teaching. So we need to know that, what is God saying? I cried out because my pain got only worse after the divorce. And I asked the Lord what to do. And you know why we sang Nothing is Impossible? Because tonight, nothing is impossible with my marriage, because he told me that Bob, I said, how do you see Bob? I saw him very evil. I saw him living in sin. I saw him doing everything the opposite of what he was called to do and what he had been as a father and so forth. And God gave me Luke 1:15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And I said, you got a good imagination. You got a good imagination. How can you see that? He's with somebody else. He's not seeing the kids regularly. He sees them when he wants to and every other weekend or so forth. How do you see that? And I said, how long can I stand? What do you want me to do? And literally on the same Bible pages, these two pages that did not have to flip a page, it said Luke 1:37. And that's, for nothing is impossible. And that's what God wants you to understand. For with God, nothing is impossible. And your circumstances don't matter to me or to our ministry, because God says nothing is impossible. And if you had seen the song, and if you ones that are coming in late have came and would have seen the song, how many scriptures were in there of nothing is impossible? That needs to increase your faith and hope and trust in the Lord. And so last word is, how do I do it? How do I understand? I didn't know what God was saying to me at that night when I was crying out. And Luke 1:45 happened. Blessed is she who believes that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Well, this happened to Carrie. Carrie found our ministry. And Carrie wrote us a letter. And I brought it and had it at home, because attached to it was a picture of them on the DVD, and she had a letter that she wrote, and let me read it to you. What a joy it is for me to send you a copy of this DVD. It is my recent wedding ceremony to my covenant spouse. We recently shared our story with the pastor of the church we are attending and asked him to incorporate our remarriage into a Sunday evening service. Almost 18 years ago, we had that wedding with the flowers, the fancy gown, huge reception, and I wouldn't have changed a thing. So this time, we wanted a ceremony that we could share with all the people who walked this difficult road with us. We wanted to give all the glory to God for what he has done to restore our broken marriage. And I want to share the ceremony with all of you, because your ministry gave me hope and insight that I could not find anywhere else. Visiting your website always helped me to realize that my circumstances should not be the focus of my thoughts, nor should they determine any course of action that I needed to take. You reminded me over and over to seek the Lord through his word and not rely on the opinion of others. I was heartbroken at the beginning of my stand to see how many people in the body of Christ left no room for reconciliation after adultery and divorce. My first visit to my pastor more than 20 years left me with only condolences and the advice that God would work all things for my good. I knew in my spirit what God was calling me to do, but it was certainly not among the most popular opinion, even in the church. So God sent me a handful of very special prayer warriors who had the faith to see along with me, and he sent me to your ministry. The daily emails, the CD teachings, newsletters always seemed to be exactly what I needed for the crisis at hand. God used your ministry to keep me focused and centered on him through a myriad of circumstances that he since turned into our favor. My pastor was right. God did work all the things for good. But I am so blessed to say I did not throw up my hands in defeat in the process, but wait. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I did not allow my marriage to become just another statistic in the body of Christ. God planted my feet, set my face as a flint, poured out his strength and power into me as I learned what it is to be a stander. Thank you for everything you taught me about a truth that runs counter to our culture. Thank you for preparing me for situations and obstacles that I would not have seen otherwise. Thank you for reminding me daily that the Word and the Holy Spirit are my greatest teachers. Without your counsel, my prodigal would have never chosen to come home to a bitter, broken, unforgiving wife. But that wife moved out a long time ago, and he has a new wife now. Thank you for encouraging me that I could be that wife, and I look forward to my new husband. Words don't seem adequate to thank you for all that your ministry does, so I will simply say that the Lord bless you and pour out abundant favor on all that you do to spread the truth to a hurting world. In Christ, Carrie and Ryan redid their marriage vows in August, and we are privileged, and this is probably our first DVD that we've had, of them sharing it, and they've allowed us to share it with the pastor's permission to share it with anybody and everybody, and it's going to be on YouTube tomorrow so that people can actually see the whole event. But we wanted to bless you people first, and we just ask you to just write down all these scriptures and everybody, what everybody's saying, because we want you to learn from this. Be blessed.
Lord, we bring our lives to you tonight. Those of us who are married in this room bring our marriages to you. We confess to you, Lord, that at oftentimes we fall short. We've not done the mechanics, the works that we needed to do, the constant repairing and breaching the areas that we should have worked on months, years ago. The maintenance part of our life has gone unattended. Often we've treated others out in the world better than we treated those in our own home. We repent of that tonight. We repent that, Lord, we have often failed you, not in what we talked about our love for you, God, but Lord, somehow our love for you has been very shallow and empty when we've not manifested that love to the one that you gave us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the love, the life, the lift that we've given each other over the years, the constant encouraging word, strengthening the bond, the beautiful children that you gave us, the 5 grandsons that are awesome. We thank you, Lord. We are blessed of you, blessed immensely, highly favored by the presence of God, not only, Lord, in the outside arena, which we call this church our place of home and existence, but in our own home. What a blessing it is. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for everyone here that's here to share together. and to bear each other's love toward one another with a new dimension and a new commitment. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Give that little bride of yours a clasp on the hand and squeeze a little bit and say, boy, I do love you. Boy, I don't like the distance I've got with Charlotte tonight. Baby, I love you, sweetheart. You know, when Marilyn mentioned the triangle, that's often what I use in counseling. And when I had a visit from Ryan, first of all, and then Carrie, and we talked back and forth about marriage and about a commitment to each other, I brought up the triangle. They'll remember that. And I said, there may be distance apart. Matter of fact, I talked with Carrie several times. There may be distance apart. And there may be things that you can't work on to come together. And it just seems virtually impossible. Here you are. Here is your companion. And you're saying, all these different issues, there's no way that we can settle them. As Marilyn shared a moment ago, a lot of what we do here is about triangles, about three sides. And what I simply tell them is that stop working on your marriage because it isn't working the way you think. Start working on yourself and your relationship with God. All of a sudden, when you start working on your relationship and you get closer to God, I think there's a scripture, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. All of a sudden, as you work that up toward understanding that kind of relationship and love, before you know it, you find yourself closer to God. And all of a sudden, as your companion starts, wife starts working toward submitting herself to God's plan for her life, all of a sudden, you find yourself wrapped up. And can I tell you, that's where marriage has to begin. Because you can't really love the way you need to love until you fall in love with God. Until Christ becomes the centerpiece, not just of a home that you're trying to build, but the life that you're trying to live. It must be preeminent and first and foremost. So I'm going to ask tonight for Ryan to bring his bride to the stage and their daughter. The vows you are about to take tonight are sacred above words. And your lives hereafter shall not be bound together by just the mere words of a man, but the very essence of God's thoughts about what you say. The security of your marriage is resting in the rites, the ritual of any church, nor in the word of this minister. Your security of marriage lest it rest in the true purpose of your heart. So you stand here tonight. Your hearts are open before your family, before all of your friends, before your church. And it stands in the character for which you are going to build. Character is not something that someone gives to you. It is the thing that you labor and work out on your own. It's in the steadfastness of this devotion that you're showing to each other tonight and that you will work on establishing the rest of your life. And it is in the love of God that your marriage is bound. Will you, Ryan, before I do this, I want to pause a moment and say, most of us, when we got married our first time, marriage, we heard these words and they didn't sink very deep. You two know these words I'm about to share. Very powerful. Will you, Ryan, have Carrie to be your wife? Will you love her? Will you honor her, comfort and keep her? And forsaking all others, remain true to her as long as you both shall live. You may answer, I will. Will you, Carrie, have Ryan to be your husband? Will you love him honor him, comfort and keep him, and forsaking all others, remain true to him. As long as you both shall live, you may answer, I will. Brian, I'm going to ask you to take this mic. I want to ask you to hold Carrie's hand. Want me to hold the mic for you? Okay. And give her the vow that you make before this congregation tonight.
I, Ryan, take you, Carrie, to be my wife, to love, to honor, and cherish until the Lord returns. My eyes will be fixed on you, my heart fixed on you, and all my love fixed on you, because my heart, my soul, my mind, and body is fixed on Christ. You are what I prayed for in college just a couple of years ago, many years ago, and you were and are the answer to my prayers. God created you for me and me for you, and I will not take that for granted. You are my wife, my love, and my life, and with the help and grace of God, I can be the husband and father that I need to be and should be. I thank you for loving me through the rough times, the easy times. I thank you for always standing by my side and for always encouraging me. I thank you for this second chance. I love you and I always will.
Carrie, if it is your desire to receive that pledge, I'd ask you to continue holding hands. And I want to ask you to repeat your commitment to Ryan.
Almost 18 years ago, I stood on another stage in front of our friends and family and entered into covenant with you. Today, I believe with all my heart that original covenant still stands, but not because of anything you or I have done or not done. It stands because God ordained our marriage, and now God is restoring it. At 21 years of age, I sincerely meant the words I spoke to you, but today, at 38 years of age, I can be even more specific in my pledge to you. Today, Ryan, I choose again to accept you as my covenant husband. This is more than a piece of paper to me. No judge, minister, or ceremony can establish this for us. It is written and held together by the hand of the Father, never to be revoked. You are mine to have and to hold from this day forward. And I choose to hold on to the good things from our past and allow time and the Holy Spirit to soften our mistakes and regrets until they are no longer wounds, but simply our testimony. I choose you for better or worse, and I can say that with confidence because I have seen both the best and the worst in you, and I love you more now than ever before. I will be yours for richer or poorer because I am aware this is not a romance novel or a sappy movie. This is real life, and God has promised to provide all we need, and his provision manifested through you will always be enough for me. I promise to treasure you in sickness or in health and be thankful to the Father for every moment he gives us together. I will love and cherish you, and may I add, I will respect you as the head of our home till death do us part.
Those two vows that you make today are more meaningful because you understand from life what they mean, what the expression is. When Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth, he did an act for his disciples. His disciples had actually been often unruly. At one time, Peter, who seemed to be the most boisterous always, had told him, "Don't talk about death and dying. Don't talk about leaving this world. No one's going to kill you. Don't talk about death." And the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." again at the time when Jesus was getting ready to leave the world, and he had had a last meal with his disciples. He took a towel, and he took a basin, and he knelt before his disciples, and he washed their feet. Peter again said, "Don't wash me. Don't do that. Let me serve you." Washing feet is a very important thing to you too. And it probably is an expression that most of these folks don't understand being a part of your ceremony. So there is a basin, a towel. Share with each other washing feet.
Like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I pour my love on you. Like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I pour my love on you. Like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I pour my love on you.
I got extremely selfish, very arrogant, and I turned away from Christ, and I stepped out on Carrie, and I left her and Michaela, and divorced Carrie, and I remarried somebody else, and I was, again, I was very selfish. I was in a very dark place. And I didn't know exactly how many relationships, how many friendships, and how many people that I affected from doing this. And I finally got down on my knees and said, God, I made a huge mistake. Can you help me out? I had went into this marriage thinking I was too far gone, that I had messed up so much that there's no way that I could get back. And so I went ahead with the marriage, but when I got into it, I was like, God, I've really messed up. You know, can you help me out? And so he got me out of that. I moved to Florida with my parents, and they loved on me and took care of me and gave me counsel. And the more that I continued to put Christ first and the more that I called on him, the more that I wanted my family back. And so Carrie and I started talking. We started texting, and I would come up here and she would go down there, and we started working things out. And God has brought us together. There's still things that we have to work on, but God's going to take us through it. And I guess I'm here to say that you're never so far gone that God can't bring you back. And I guess I didn't realize that, but through this last year and a half, I've really came to understand God's mercy and God's grace in a way that I've never known before. So, Carrie, I'm sorry for what I did. And Michaela, I'm sorry for leaving you. And I'm sorry to a lot of my friends that I hurt, to my mom and dad that I made them make some decisions that they probably didn't want to make. Randy and Rita, I'm sorry that I betrayed your trust. But I'm so thankful that God is a God of second chance, second and third. And like the pastor said this morning, you know, I do lawn care right now, and I'm on a mower 8 hours a day, so I get a lot of time to think and pray. And I always think, man, why did I do this? Why did I say this? Why did I leave Carrie? Why did I do all this stuff? It hurt so many people. It hurt me. And so I've been ashamed for a long time. And like the pastor said this morning, you know, hopefully my shame will turn into fame. And that's what I'm believing. So thank you guys for coming. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being with Carrie and Michaela the time that I've been gone, and for showing her love. And thank you for showing me your love.
This room is filled with all different kinds of people. People who don't know our story at all, and people who have been through the story with us. I know this may have seemed strange for us to wash each other's feet, but that was part of our story. And from the day that Ryan left, my life became a process of doing things that God had called me to do that did not make sense. And I know some of you, when I shared it with you, you looked at me like I had horns growing out of my head. Why would you do that? But the night that Ryan announced he was leaving, I crawled out into the living room and was just trying to breathe. And I did a very immature thing spiritually. I did I'm just going to open up the Bible and see where it falls. And I don't recommend that, but I was that desperate that night. And sure enough, it opened up to Ezekiel 37. Isn't that where you would think it would go? And it was the Valley of Dry Bones, and I read it, waited for a voice from heaven, and was just totally disgusted with the fact that that didn't work. I closed the Bible, and I just sat in stunned silence for hours. It wasn't until weeks later that I realized that that was my word. and I went back and read it again. And he was saying, I am going to take something that is dead and I'm going to resurrect it back to life. The process of my marriage dying, I thought was going to kill me. I had to let it die. And I kept thinking and begging and praying for God to do this before it died. I got the papers. I still kept praying. I was fasting. I was doing everything that I knew to do. And then I heard another marriage was coming, and I begged God to stop that. Some of you were on your knees with me, begging God to stop this second marriage, because I truly thought that once that came, that was the end. And I even remember asking God at one point. I had a friend that said, just ask him if this is going to happen. I remember I was in the shower and I said, God, are you going to stop this marriage? And he said, no. So I prayed and prayed up until that hour. And when it passed, I thought, okay, I'm done. I was in Orlando at the time, working at the General Assembly. And I remember I still was wearing my wedding ring up until the day that Ryan remarried. And I know people thought I was crazy even then. There were many other things that God called me to do. The foot washing, when Ryan came back to the house one day, God told me to wash his feet. And I thought, you know, God, you've seen what he's doing. You've seen the choices he's making. Why do I have to wash his feet? But I prayed, and I knew that that's what God had called me to do. And when I did, Ryan allowed me to. But he didn't accept it. His heart was so hard. But there was something that freed me that day. Even though Ryan didn't receive it, God did something in me. And he began to show me that this is what he's called me to do some crazy things. That week in Orlando, after the marriage, I thought, I'm done. This is it. I'm out. I thought God was going to release me. I took my wedding ring off. I laid it on the counter in the hotel. And that day I went to the bookstore to work. I got to the bookstore and there was a silver band there, and God told me to buy it and put it back on. And I said, you know what, God, I don't want to do that. He is married and I'm divorced. I don't want to wear a wedding band. But I bought it and I put it on. And it was that week when I was in Orlando that God sealed this in my heart. It didn't matter how long. It didn't matter how far he went. This is what God had called me to do. And I received word after word after word after word that God was going to do this. And I had to do so many things that didn't make sense to me at the time. But what God was teaching me, I don't want Ryan to stand up here and take all the blame. I will never allow that to happen, because I was to blame too. Anybody who's married knows that if you are saying it's all your spouse's fault, you're the one that's in trouble. And so immediately when Ryan left, people circled around me to cheer me on and to tell me that I was the one that was okay. And you know what? I enjoyed that for a couple of weeks. And then I ran 100 miles an hour into a brick wall in the shape of a friend who sat me down and said, we need to talk, because you need to stop worrying about what Ryan's doing, and you need to get before the Lord and you need to make changes in your own life. And I spent a horrible year of going through that process. I felt like I was on the potter's wheel, spinning and spinning, and he was mashing and shaping and reshaping me. And all the while, I would look at Ryan and I'd say, isn't he the one with the problems? Isn't he the one that's making all the mistakes? And God would say, no, we need to talk about you. And he always brought me back to me. And in that process, in those years, I was refined. And he said, you've got to be ready for when Ryan comes home. You know, and it was crazy, but again, a year or two later, God called me again to wash Ryan's feet. This time, he wasn't hard and he wasn't cold. He received it. And that's why tonight we wanted to share this with you. I don't know how Pastor's going to work it out, but I just told him this is part of our story. And this was a tremendous blessing for me to be able to wash my feet, the feet of my husband, once when he was hard and couldn't receive it, and again when he was receptive. And Ryan is not the one who received the blessing. I was the one who received the blessing and being able to do that. So we wanted to open that up to you guys and allow you to do that with us.
just a few moments, I'll invite couples to come up and stand with us to make a recommitment of their own marriage. On both sides of this altar, on the front rows, are towels, and there will be a pitcher, a basin of water. And we don't have enough basins to everyone, but we'll pour water over your companion's feet. You can wash their feet if you so choose tonight. As you come back together, the most important thing for you two was to express wearing a ring. You told us how God told you to wear the ring. Tonight, you're going to replace that ring with a ring that your husband is going to give you. Do each of you have rings for this ceremony? Lord, I lift these rings up as a symbol that wherever they may wear them, it will be a reminder. Reminder that they are committed to this marriage. The ring is made of purest substance, and may their marriage and their commitment to each other be of purest faith. It's made in the form of a circle, which is a symbol of eternity. And may the continuation, an unending continuation of the ring, be an unending commitment to their love for each other. Ryan, take the ring, place it on her finger. With this ring, I make my commitment to you for the rest of our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Carey, place the ring on his finger. Repeat after me. With this ring, I make a commitment to our marriage for the rest of our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask couples that have their companion here tonight to come and stand in the altar as we recommit our vows to our marriage as well. Would you please come and stand? You say, well, I feel awkward about that. Don't feel awkward. We're making a statement to the enemy of our marriage. You say, well, this could never happen to me. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say never. You could say as you're coming, this is awful foolish because, I mean, when they made this kind of commitment. Well, have you ever read the book of Hosea? When God kept telling the prophet to go back again and again and to bring his wife home, and she kept leaving over and over again for someone else, over and over again. What sounds foolish to us? It's a very sacred, sacred moment in this time together. So as we come, sweetheart, I don't know where you are, but if you can work your way through here, you can come and stand with me. Come here, pretty lady. Come over here. Marriage is the oldest institution in the world. Predates even the church and the temple. Marriage is formed by God while humankind was in a state of innocence. Humankind fell, but marriage did not. It was and still is God's plan for a man and a woman. Gentlemen, men, women, if you'll face each other, will you now pledge yourself to continue to love each other with a love that fails not? To watch over each other in sickness and in health? To protect and to comfort and encourage each other in all the trials of life? And to remain faithful to each other so long as you both shall live? You may express to each other at this time, I will. Men, As you look into your wife's eyes, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I rejoicefully acknowledge you as my wife and renew my commitment to you that I express in our wedding vows many years ago. I pledge to you my love and devotion for whatever time God permits us to live. No one but Jesus shall come before you in my life. I promise to be the spiritual leader of our home, making Jesus and His church the center of our home. I will be faithful to you and to my Lord, and will strive to be worthy of your respect and honor. Wife, if it is your desire to express that pledge back to your husband, continue holding hands and repeat after me. I joyfully acknowledge you as my husband and renew my commitment to you that I expressed in our wedding vows many years ago. I pledge to you my love and devotion for whatever time God permits us to live. No one but Jesus shall come before you in my life. I will look to you as the spiritual leader of our home and will joyfully submit to your leadership. I will trust you to give spiritual guidance to me and our family. Father, I pray for every couple that stands in this church tonight, along with Ryan and Carrie. We have made a commitment. We have taken a stand. We have renewed a commitment. To God be the glory for the home that you have provided for us and the marriage that you've given us. We confess that there are often times that we've needed to wash each other's feet. Today it may be a good opportunity for us to express that. Lord, in each and every way, we now commit to you to work on our marriage, to love each other, to serve you, and to place you first. And that once we get our love right about you, then our love for each other will come natural. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and what God hath joined together, no man, no thing, no demon of hell has the right to break. Amen and amen. Men, you may kiss your bride. Wow. Yeah, for the very first time. No, for the second time. Would you give them a round of applause? Appreciation. Hallelujah.
We are one in the Lord.
Just stay where you guys are for a moment. Sing it, girl.
Now may your spirit be our guide. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Lord. We are now in one accord. Now may your spirit.
Pass the Kleenex out. Whoa. That last part of it really got to me. Will you make a recommitment to your wedding vows tonight? Your wife or husband may not be here, but you need to make that commitment. You need to make it. I've made it. When I was on the floor in my house crying out, saying, what has happened to our marriage? And I cried for 2.5 years, but it does not matter how long we have to cry out what happened. We can understand the devil is alive and well, and he's out to destroy every single marriage. Whether it were in the church, he goes starts at the top and he's going to go to the bottom. Or he can go in the world. But he's attacking the church. And we have got to come to the understanding that this is serious. And everybody doesn't like me when I say, don't listen to your pastor, don't listen to your counselors, don't listen to your family and friends to get on with your life. Because this is what we're talking about. The potter's wheel. You need to go on the potter's wheel. It says in Jeremiah 18, verse 1, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. That's Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. Tonight, and for the last however many years you've been married, you have had times that you needed to surrender your heart and your life to the Lord and say, Lord, change me. But we haven't. I know I didn't. I kept trying and wanting to be more like the Lord, but then I walked away from the Lord and my selfishness and my busyness and what my career was. And you can fill in the blanks with your children, with anything. We always have our children in many of our families and many people we work with. Our children are almost more important than our husbands or wives. That's not supposed to be that way. But we've allowed it by our blindness that we didn't even know we were being blinded until we have a spouse walk out, and then all of a sudden we have a wake up. I'm saying to you tonight, you can be used right now to help other people. No matter where you are, no matter what situation, where your marriage is, God can use you to be a prayer partner or to pray for other people that are hurting, that you even can see the signs and the symptoms of a marriage starting to fall apart. Starting to have symptoms and signs, the way they talk to each other, the way they just act. Once you have marriage problems, once you get to the point that we all get, can you not see other people that are starting to have problems that you are aware of? You need to be praying for them. God wants you to pray for them. We need to understand the power of the Word of God. We need to understand the power of God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. He created everything. We need to remember Jesus Christ, who was sent down on this earth to be like us so he could relate and we could read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you could read all what he was telling us. And then we need to apply it. And we need to say, I surrender all to you, Father. I surrender my life to you. I want to be more like Jesus each and every day. Will you join us to be more like Jesus? That's what we need to do. That's what Carrie had to do. That's what I had to do. We had to become more and more and more like Jesus. What are you supposed to be doing while you're standing and waiting? Not complaining. We're supposed to pray. Pray without ceasing, like Luke 18, verse 1. There's a parable that says, always pray and never give up. Luke 18, 1. And then there's a parable of a widower that went and said, I need justice. And you're saying to God, I need justice. I want my marriage restored. But you know what? He's saying, no, wait, you're not ready. You're not ready for your husband or wife to come home. I need to put you on the potter's wheel. Well, some of us are put on the potter's wheel many times throughout our marriage. And we're given grace and mercy, that we're given second and third chances. But you know what? We need to say, I want to change tonight. Lord, it's not about my husband. It's not about how long. It's about not about the circumstances, about me. It's about me changing. And me not saying, Lord, when? Lord, when are you going to do? When is he going to call? When is he going to do this? When is she going to do this? When is she going to do that? What if she's, look at what she's doing. It doesn't matter what she's doing. Are you putting her in God's hands every day? Trust God. And say, Lord, however long it takes, I'll be 80. Doesn't matter. That's what I said. Because that's what God said to me. Am I first in your life? Then wait on me. How dare I question him? I was telling him when, where, how. I mean, I was picking up the phone and trying to tell Bob when, where, and how, and to get over here and got involved, because I didn't have any books or CDs, or I had nothing, just me and my dumb brain, and that was telling me to do all these crazy things. I don't know, and there's so many new people here tonight, but I, before God really hit me over the head, went chasing after my husband, after in mother. It was right after I surrendered my heart to the Lord that my husband went and took his girlfriend to my mother-in-law's house for Mother's Day. And I saw that. And he called me up and says, hey, send the kids down, would you? Because I want them to be with me while I'm with my mother for Mother's Day. You might have said, everything, you've never had this happen, but my anger went from here, normal, to here on the ceiling. And I became the mad woman. It was by the grace of God that I did not kill my husband that day. And I don't say that jokingly. I'm serious, because we have it happening in the world now. But I literally lost my mind, because there they were and here I was in my house, and I was the good Christian and he was flaunting it. And my parents, my in-laws, who were like my parents, because both my parents were dead, had to make a decision. Do you give up? Oh, I forgot to tell you that. My in-law's house was right there at the corner, and I was the opposite corner. So they were just one block away, and they could look out their window, see my front door. So any man or woman that came into my door, they could see anything and everything. Well, guess what I said? I went to them and repented after I told them everything that he had done and had opened my mouth, and, you know, I did everything wrong. Why do you think I still have CDs and say, listen, don't do what I did? Because I did it all. But I want you to say, zip my lips. Why do I say zip my lips? Because I'm just watered over with details that I had to go and repent and say, you will never hear anything from me ever again. Forgive me. Because that's your son I was talking about. And that is your son forever. And you are to love your son forever. When God touched me and I started reading the Bible, I realized Romans 12 that says, love 9 to the end. Bless those who persecute you. But that afternoon, I called him up and I threatened him. And I said, if you don't get out of the house and you don't get away from your mom and dad and you give me my kids back, I don't know what I'm going to do. and I chased them all around town. I didn't know where they were, but I went everywhere. And it's by the grace of God, we did not have cell phones back in the antiquated years we were married. And, you know, thank God, that's a blessing, because I probably would have had the police following me and chasing me, and would have been on 995, look for this car and license plate number, because they would have been chasing me and arresting me. Innocent me. It's Bob's fault. Did you not know that? No, it was my fault, because I had lost control of my emotions and feelings, and I was acting not like a Christian. And then God talked to me, and he took me home, and when I came home, I'm just shaking, and he said, "What are you doing?" And that was the night that I surrendered all, and I came to my senses. I became like the prodigal son, and I repented, and I said, "Father, forgive me. I will never do that again." He can go anywhere, do anything with anybody. I don't care. It will not come out of my mouth to my in-laws. And it took quite a while for me to, my mother and father-in-law to forgive me. But they did. And they were expecting, when we got remarried, Bob was 2 hours away, living 2 hours away. And all of a sudden, we walked in and they said, "Mom, Dad, guess what we did this afternoon?" And my mother-in-law said, "You got remarried." But she was not a believer. And believing for this, except I went and I repented and said, "I'm sorry." And I took strawberry pies and I took anything to humble myself and say, "I'm sorry. I have no mom and dad. You know them. But you've got my grandkids, and you've got me sitting here, and I'll be there till 80 waiting for your son to come to his senses." And I told them, "I will be faithful." And I said, "Please don't hold anything that he's done in the past, because he's going to become a new creature in Christ. I know, because God's given me so many scriptures. Scripture after scripture after scripture. God is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you through the word, and he'll speak to you in dreams and visions and whatever way God wants to do it. Billboards or license plates. License plates are very popular. We can tell you, if you read our Charlene Kears, you and Saturday Testimony, you will read how God speaks to people. Pray. Believe it. Obey. You know, God's very blunt to us Christians who are off on this wrong road. But he will speak to you, and he will bring you back. But we need to understand, we need to make that recommitment. We've got to get off the fence. We got to get on. It's, are you standing or are you not standing? And you can't decide which day you're going to do it. And you need to love your wife or husband unconditionally. And that's it. We need to, what he said is so strong. Let me go to Psalms 19, because I want you to understand how important God's word is. God's word is so important. And in Psalm 19, it says, verse 7, I'm going to start reading now. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." He will give you joy in the midst of your circumstances. "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." He's going to give you the truth. He's going to open up your spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see, and you're going to get stronger. You are not going to be in that broken-hearted, crushed spirit right now. Because in Isaiah 61, he says, "I will heal the brokenhearted. I will heal the crushed in spirit." And you are broken, but God's going to heal you. He healed me. And then he made me strong, become a woman of God, to stand and fight for marriages. And marriages that I knew were restored before Bob ever came home, just by what God was sharing, I shared with everybody. "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. in keeping them, there is great reward. In that verse, if your husband or wife do not think they're getting away with it, there are so many scriptures in the Bible that says there is punishment. There are consequences. If they do not repent, there is consequences. There is no doubt about it. And I am going to have to tell you that read this. Put your husband and wife's name in this broken relationship prayer cards. There are prayer cards in the back. We need to pray the word. God's word will not return void, it says in Isaiah. I wanted to tell you, but there are spiritual weapons that we need to use. You need to put on the armor of God. This is all what you need to learn before your husband or wife comes home. And you need to share it with your family and friends and loved ones that if they're not doing it, do it. Because you're saving a marriage. We need to get serious about how can we be a lighthouse? How can we get restored? But we need to keep the word. And it says your servant is warned. And then in keeping them, there's great reward. In keeping God's word, you are going to be blessed and rewarded. Maybe not here on earth, but in heaven for certain. It says that. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. That's saying, Lord, help me. Don't let me go on a detour road. Don't let me sin. They may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May that be your prayer tonight. There was a lot of honesty in this wedding, a very transparent wedding. And we need to pray for repentance. And God is the God of second and third chances, regardless of where you are tonight. Yet God is the second and third and fourth chances for your husband or wife or prodigal children. Don't give up. You need to learn how to forgive. And forgiveness is a process. And you have to let go and let God deal with them. You're not to be the one to treat them like you want to be treated. You have got to learn to forgive. And we have a CD on it. But if you don't even need the CD, you look up all the scriptures on forgiveness. God will convict you. God will speak to you. And I cannot even tell you all the scriptures. Unforgiveness is a very big sin in God's eyes. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Father, forgive your husband or wife. Because right now, they're blinded, they're deceived, they're deaf, and they do not know what they're doing to your family. Are you going to let God use you for the future like he used me? And I had no plans for this. None. Bob and I had no plans. We just were trying to get our marriage back together again. Bob was so convicted, but he ran from God. And you're going to have to stand firm and pray. Become the prayer warrior. If you're not, you need it when you get restored. And never, never forget it. That's the most important thing you need to learn, to pray. You need to pray scriptures. Because God's word will not return void. That's why I said we've got prayer cards here, and God will help teach you, and there's prayer cards in the back. And you get prayer cards when you get mail from us. You get prayer cards all the time because those prayer cards will help teach you the importance of praying. Tonight, I want you to close your eyes or just close your mind to the world's way and what all you've heard. And I want you to listen to one song that God has spoken to me about that came out long time after we've been restored. God is so good, he gives us songs now for the standards. We need to pray more. And this is a special song because it's talking about never stop praying. And while you're listening to it, will you pray and talk to the Lord? Well, listen to the words, and then we're going to pray and close with prayer.
Thank you. altar in tears of celebration. We'd never seen them smile like this before. She'd spent her life a praying on bended knee a staying. And this morning he surrendered to the Lord. There's a message in their story. Only God can get the glory. When a child of his keeps knocking at the door, it pays to pray. It pays to call. It pays to pray, to see a miracle displayed. You'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. You'll know He will make a way. It pays to pray. Make a choice. Do you stop believing? Forget what you've been seeking? Or do you resolve that Jesus hears your voice? He will hush the angel praises just to hear what you are saying.
For tonight, we just praise your holy name for what you have spoken to so many hearts and lives tonight. So many marriages have been represented here and around the world that are watching it. Oh, Lord, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, teach us to humble ourselves and surrender our heart and our life and our marriage to you. And Lord, we ask thy will be done, your perfect will be done. Lord, I ask that you will touch us, change us first. And then, Lord, we will follow your will, your way, follow your instructions each and every day. Lord, speak to our standards and to me so very loudly so we can hear you. Lord, we ask that you would touch us, open our spiritual eyes and ears and heart, that we will know your will and will follow, not on a detour road, but we will follow you so very closely as the disciples did. Help us not make mistakes like the disciples did. Help us not betray you. Help us to never deny you. Help us always to stay on the road to righteousness. Lord, we're all going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. All of us have made mistakes. But Lord, all we have to do is cry out and repent and say, forgive me. And Lord, let us not go on the detour road again. And help us stay close to you, that we will probably never fall back into a trap like Satan is trying to take us to not stand. Lord, help all the people that are not standing any longer. Bring them back to you. Bring them back and say, I've got a plan and a purpose, and I haven't changed my mind. So will you come back? Go after them, Father. We pray for them all around the world. And Lord, may you just speak to them. I've got a plan, and I have a purpose, and I'm waiting for you to join and to come and stand with me. Where two or three are gathered together, Lord, we believe that God is moving mightily around the world, and we see marriages and hear marriages being restored every week now. A marriage was restored and they renewed their vows yesterday. And we just praise you again, another wedding, another commitment. Father, we just ask that you will just continue to move the mountains of circumstances in every one of our standards and prodigals' lives. Oh, open the prodigal's ears and eyes and heart, that they will start moving closer to you, as the pastor talked about the triangle. And Lord, we just ask that you will just continue to move in our hearts, our lives, and oh, and especially the children. Oh, Lord, go rescue the children. Heal their wounded hearts. There are so many rebelling, so many wounded, crying, and trying to find the answers of why their mother or father rejected them and divorced them also. Oh, Lord, go to them and help them, that you're showing them you are right there with them. You will never leave them or forsake them. And that they need to love their father or mother, that they're blinded and deceived, and never give up on their mother or father, because God will move the mountain in his perfect timing. Oh, let us all stand and let us all pray and let us get prayer partners that are going to be faithful. And we don't have to tell them the circumstances. We just have to tell them to pray. And we just say, pray, pray. You don't need the circumstances. Just pray for our marriage. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. Pray for my children. To meet all our needs, emotional, physical, spiritual. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory, because when our marriage is restored, as Carrie and Ryan were so willing to do, they're willing to be transparent. And we're asking them to just grow in the Lord. And they have now the process of marriage restoration, which will take time. But we've got all the time in the world till you take us home, Father. Either you're going to take us home when you come back for all of us, or when you take us home one by one in your perfect timing. So, Lord, we just ask that you will just increase every standard's faith, hope, and trust. And may you put us on the potter's wheel, that we will end up to be a beautiful trophy that you will be proud of, that you will say, I made her to be like that. I made him to be that man of God. Because I shaped and molded him. And I allowed the circumstances to purify him, to be more Christ-like, and make us have the character that you want us to have. Oh, God, change us and mold us and make us. And we just ask that you will do that for Carrie and Ryan and for all the restored marriages, all the ones that are in this room, that are in our ministry, and all the ones around the world that are so many other, that never even knew what standing was. But they just stood with God, and their marriage has been restored. We just give you the praise and the glory. We pray for all marriage ministries and for all churches, for all pastors to get the vision that restoration is possible, because nothing is impossible. And that prodigal that is doing whatever they are doing right now, it doesn't matter, because sin is sin. And oh, may we just forgive, and may we stand by their sides. And we pray that we would have our husband or wife stand beside us if we ever fell into sin, or if our child fell into sin. May we not throw them away. Oh God, help us see the vision and the plan and the purpose you have for our lives. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you're going to do in each and every marriage around the world, because Rejoice Ministries are praying for millions and thousands and trillions of marriages around the world to be all that you want them to be, Father. May our churches be the lighthouse for marriage restoration around the world. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're almost done with the class, and we haven't prayed in a circle. So we're going to do this very quietly, very quickly, as we always do. But we're going to get in a big circle, and we're going to start right in the middle here and go all around the pole. And we're going to pray for our one most prayer.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.
We are thankful to you for all that you are. What you've brought us through, we are thankful to you.
You are a good God, tender and kind. You're so time after time. How can we ever tell you enough? Thank you, dear Jesus, for